Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Welcome in, everyone, to this Bastard Series Prediction Show. The Red Sox just wrapped up a four-game set against the Kansas City Royals, taking three out of those four games. They now stay at Fenway Park. They will host the Detroit Tigers this weekend for a three-game series. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Micah Storms with me. I've got Terry Cushman with me. Guys, let's dive right into these three games, starting with Friday night, 7:10, the return of Chris Sale to the Red Sox, and he will be going up against Tarik Skubal for the Detroit Tigers. Micah, what do you like in game one?
This has got to be the least excited Red Sox fans have been for a Chris Sale return. I just think we've heard Chris Sale return, that phrase, too many times, and I think no one is really that excited anymore. I have no idea what to expect. I think the Red Sox kind of caught a break that he's returning against Detroit. Maybe that was the plan all along, to kind of give him an easier offense to go up against. So maybe, I think they said on the broadcast tonight, I think they were shooting for about four innings. So hopefully he can give them three or four quality innings, three, four innings, one run, hopefully something like that. But to me, the bigger part of the matchup is Tarik Skubal, because he returned back from Tommy John. He had Tommy John surgery last year, and he's a terrific left-handed pitcher. He has phenomenal stuff. And with the way this Red Sox offense is going, I'm going to take Skubal. If you looked at his last four outings, it's been one bad, one good, one bad, one good. So he's technically due for a bad start. But I can't take an unknown Sale when Tarik Skubal is going against a struggling offense. So give me the Tigers and Skubal.
Terry, what do you got?
I can't disagree with Micah. I mean, if you told me Sale was available for six or seven, that could be a different ball game. But when you look at how cold this offense is, just absolutely ice cold, a guy like Skubal should be able to, you know, give the Tigers a quality start, especially where he is a tough lefty. I mean, Yoshida sat tonight. I doubt he sits two nights in a row, but you got to figure Verdugo probably not in the lineup. Jaron Duran has cooled off. Like, he's taken a nice bath lately. One for 11 in this recent Orioles series. Let's see how he did against the Blue Jays. 3 for 14, not terrible there. 3 for 13, but still, you're not seeing those timely Jaron Duran hits, and then followed by him being hell on the base pass. So, you know, Skubal is catching the Red Sox at the right time, and as we discussed in the previous show, probably no Jansen. Probably no Martin. Probably no Freudian slip. Probably no Winkowski. Those guys pitched in three out of the four games against the Royals. So who is going to back up Chris Sale? We mentioned Barraclough, possibly. That would be another spaghetti against the wall thing for Bloom. Denelson Lamet didn't work out very well. Joe Jakes never really worked out. So that was very long-winded. I'm taking the Tigers.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the Tigers as well. This is the worst matchup of the series, I think. Skubal is nasty. He's back to full health. He looks really good. Had a great start against the Rays his last time out. The Red Sox offense, when it's going well, it's the left-handers that are contributing. It's Devers, it's Yoshida, it's Verdugo, it's Casas. They're going cold right now, at least most of them are. and you have to go up against a tough left-hander in Skubal. Doesn't feel great. Chris Sale, probably not going to go deep into the game. You mentioned Terry, the bullpen is taxed, so he's not going to have a lot of help backing him up. You're not probably not going to have Justin Turner in the lineup. That foot issue sounds like it's getting pretty serious and you know, is looking like might be IL stint worthy at some point. We'll see. Your best right-handed hitter won't be in the lineup. It just, everything about it just screams like a 3-1, just wet fart, just bad offensive game. And I just think Skubal is going to be too good. I don't think the Red Sox will have it. So I will take Detroit in game one as well. Game two is Saturday afternoon, 4:10 start. Brian Baio going for the Red Sox against Matt Manning for the Tigers. Micah, what do you got in game two?
This has to be a lock for the Red Sox because this is a clear advantage in terms of the pitching matchup. Matt Manning, former top prospect, high draft pick, but he's been dealing with injuries his entire career. He has an over 5 ERA. Baio should do very well against this Detroit offense that strikes out a lot. So that's good for him because he sometimes struggles to miss bats. So if he can get some strikeouts and some ground balls like he did against Kansas City, he should have another strong outing. So give me the Red Sox and Baio in game two.
Terry, what do you got?
Automatic win for the Red Sox in game two. Just to add on to Micah, because I had it up, Matt Manning, first round pick in the 2016 draft. Still has not established himself yet. Did have an okay 2022, but it was somewhat abbreviated. Only 12 starts. How many innings was that? Can't find it. Oh, 63 innings. So short sample size. No reason to pick against Baio, even with some slight inconsistency. He is getting hit kind of hard. The home run ball been a bit of an issue, but I think Matt Manning is going to have a lot more issues at Fenway Park. So give me the Red Sox for game two.
Yeah, I will reluctantly also take the Red Sox for game two. I think Baio will bounce back. You know, I think he'll put forward a good start. Matt Manning has faced the Red Sox once, and he pitched 6 innings of 1-hit ball. Only struck out 2 batters that whole time, but definitely gave them some problems. He's one of those weird, he's 6'6". So he's got that sort of downward, weird sort of angle that we've seen the Red Sox struggle with before. We talk about it when we face guys like Bailey Ober, who I believe is 6'7", he pitches for the Twins. The Red Sox always seem to have a weird time with pitchers that are really tall or just have weird arm angles. The one benefit is that Matt Manning has never pitched at Fenway Park, and he's not having a great 2023. He's been getting hit quite hard. So I imagine that pitching in a smaller ballpark, hopefully the offense wakes up. I think the Red Sox will go lefty heavy in that game. So should have the regulars all in there. And hopefully the offense wakes up against a guy like Manning, who, even though he's tall and has that weird arm angle, again, has not had a good year. So they should be able to tee off on him, and you've got Baio backing you up. Feel pretty confident about that. So I'll take the Red Sox, although I do still think Manning might give them a tough time first, maybe second time through the order, but hopefully they'll figure him out. So I will also take the Red Sox game two. Game three, a little bit of a weird one, and sorry if you don't have Peacock. This is a Peacock exclusive, so not on NESN. It's at 12:05. PM on Sunday, Cutter Crawford going up against our old friend Eduardo Rodriguez. Micah, who do you got in the finale?
I was wondering if Peacock discourages password sharing and account sharing, because I just think Red Sox Twitter should just share Peacock throughout. I think that's what they should do, because this game should be free. It's the Red Sox and Tigers. No one is paying to watch this game if they don't have Peacock. Come on. But the return of Rodriguez, I was a huge E-Rod fan. Would have actually been interested to see Rodriguez return Would have been curious what the Red Sox would have had to have given up to acquire him, but obviously that did not happen. Rodriguez is no stranger to Fenway. In 74 games started, 4.3 ERA, so pretty good for a ballpark that usually gives up a lot of runs. Cutter Crawford, we talked about this. Terry, you've stated it multiple times. His home and road splits are just glaringly just opposite. So I can't see myself picking Cutter Crawford at home with a 6-plus ERA. Erod is having a heck of a year. I hate the idea that I'm going to be picking the Detroit Tigers to take 2 out of 3, but the pitching matchups, I can't take the Red Sox in 2 out of 3. So give me the Tigers in game 3.
Terry, who do you got?
Micah is, he's not anti-Bloom like some of us, but appreciate the non-homer, analysis there. I also have the Red Sox losing 2 out of 3. I've taken the same result that Micah has as well. It's going to be interesting here with Erod. Will he get the video montage, that other players have gotten? It was a love-hate relationship. I was an Erod apologist for the most part here. I boldly picked him to win a Cy Young or two along the way. Didn't happen, but Erod is really good at pitching under stressful or unique circumstances. He has great numbers at Yankee Stadium. The hostility of that crowd never fazed him. He got a golden opportunity to pitch in the World Series, and the only reason he got that opportunity was because Nathan Eovaldi was needed for 6 or 7 innings in that epic third game. So that's how Rodriguez got his one and only World Series start. It went pretty well. It might not look great on paper, but if Corey yanked him when he should have prior to the Puig at bat in the 7th inning, his numbers look much better. So I don't think Rodriguez is going to be bothered pitching at Fenway. And it's probably not going to happen, but if he ends the inning on a punch out, I hope he glances over at Alex Cora and points to his wrist. I would love that. That would be precious to me. Because that could either be my time or you ain't got much longer on the job, buddy. I don't know. One of the two. But Cutter Crawford has been ass at Fenway. Terrible, absolutely terrible. I think like Paxton, I think I saw something where his velo also has dropped a little, and Crawford, I don't think has pitched quite this many innings in his career. So could be a little bit of a fatigue factor, but if anybody can't handle pitching at Fenway, it's not Rodriguez, and it's definitely Crawford. So I'll take the Red Sox taking 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cutter Crawford with some dip in the velocity, and perhaps the innings are starting to eat him up a little bit because he hasn't pitched this much, and he's not used to it, and fatigue could be setting in. He is a very hard thrower, and if he can't match that velocity that he usually has, he's not as effective. His stats at Fenway are terrible. He's not a good pitcher at Fenway. And Eduardo Rodriguez is a very good pitcher on the road. This season, he's got a 2.7 ERA on the road. So he's actually pretty much the same at home. It's maybe a few decimal points higher, but he's been very consistent all year round for the Tigers. And I think he's a guy who is much more at peace now. He didn't want to be traded. We know that based on what happened at the deadline. He wanted to stay put, and he's at peace now. He doesn't have that storm going on in his head about, oh man, am I going to end up, on somewhere where I don't want to be, or am I going to have to invoke that no trade clause and piss off my GM? He doesn't have that going anymore. He can just go out there and pitch. And yeah, I think he's going to also want to stick it to Alex Cora a little bit, who famously rode him really hard while he was here, and I think is a big reason why Rodriguez wanted out by the time his contract was up. So I think that there's a little bit of revenge coming for Eduardo. And again, just the Red Sox offense, if they don't figure it out the two games before, I don't see why they would figure it out against Eduardo Rodriguez. So I'm taking Detroit in the series finale as well. So make it 2-1 across the board for the Tigers. Not the most dynamic, sexy picks, but I think that's just kind of where the team is at. You know, the offense is floundering. You've got a pitcher coming back who's probably not going to pitch many innings, and you've got Cutter Crawford pitching at home at noon on a Sunday, which is a weird time for anyone to have to pitch. So the formula does not stack up in the Red Sox favor.
Super quick, I forgot to mention this. Tigers have won 5 of their last 10, which includes the last 3 in a row. So perhaps they're heating up at the wrong time for the Red Sox. Oh, and one other interesting nugget, Tariq Skubal. And I'm not gonna lie, before I pulled his page up, I'm like, is this, you know, a Dominican guy? White guy from California. So threw me off. But he is represented by Scott Boras. So, you know, if you're represented by him, you've got a lot of potential. Kyle Teal, recent Red Sox pick in the first round, represented by Scott Boras. So get ready for that circus, you know, when the time comes.
Oh, yeah. No, I always live to hear more Scott Boras audio because that guy's not insufferable by any means. But yeah, it's true. You know, if Scott Boras is representing you, you're no schmo. You're a pretty good player. So yeah, I think Skubal is going to be tough. And I think the pitching all weekend is going to be tough for the Red Sox, particularly how the offense is going. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But until then, we will wrap up here. We've got our Bastards Roundtable episode coming out on Friday. Me talking some Sedan Rafael and another GM from the other league who many of you don't want us to talk about anymore, but we're going to talk about him whether you like it or not.
Dave Dombrowski.
Yep. The infamous DD. Yeah. He's going to be on the roundtable as well. And then, of course, the weekend crew will have you guys next Monday to recap this Detroit Tigers series. So everyone have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later. Take care.